Did anybody here, by the way, get through the Ritva?
Okay, that's okay. I didn't expect anybody to get through Ritva. I'm very happy if you got through Tosos. I'd be very pleased you got through Tosos. So let's go back to Rashi for a moment. Let's read Rashi slowly from the beginning one more time. All right, so who would like to read who wasn't reading yesterday? Yehuda, go ahead.
Read slowly.
Rashi and Litam Ki'igar. So Rashi says that we learn that Tam Ki Ikar is Asur by Kachim, it's Mutar by Zerah B'Sheila, and it's Mutar by Chulin. So Rashi understands the language of the Gemara B'Davka, the B'Kachim Asur, is Mashba that the Chulin would be Mutar. Now, what does Tam Ki Ikar mean here? So when we say that Tam Ki Ikar is Mutar, or is not Asur by Zerah B'Sheila, and is not Asur by... it's not usher by chulin. What kind of tam ki ikar is not usher? I see we need to have an announcement. Please turn off all beepers and cell phones during the performance. Yes. I'm sorry. So what does it mean? Well, before you put into those words, it means mea v'shishim. Once you have less than mea or shishim of the isser, so then we say it's mutter by zerah b'sheila. It's mutter by chulin. It's usher by shar kajim, which means that. In effect, Masha, who was also by other kachim, Moshe.
Masha, meaning of the Isser Mamash, or Masha or Tam. I mean, I don't know if that's even possible to distinguish.
Don't. Why distinguish at this point? I would say Masha, who means of Tam, even of Tam probably. But you could distinguish, but I don't see at this point within Rashi. I don't see any ground within Rashi for distinguishing between the two.
When we say Tam Kikar, if there's Tam, it seems like we're saying two things. One is whether you're saying there's...
Those who hold Tam Kikar is Daraisa, Lahulei Alma, and the Machlokas are Rishonim. Anybody who holds Tam Kikar Daraisa holds even when it's just Tam of Loma Masha. The Ran claims that the whole machlokes, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, is limited to Tam of Alo Mamasho, as opposed to when there's Mamasho Shalisser. But but certainly that would be Asur Min HaTorah if you hold Tam Kikar Daraisa. But for right now within Rashi, I don't see any reason to make a distinction. So that's what Rashi says first step. Now Rashi turns around and says what? The Rava. And here's the big canyon he jumps. So he says, Rava does not hold of Tam Ki'ikar. As the Gemara continues to explain, Nidaraisa Beruba Batil. Ela Midrabanan. What's the problem with Rashi? What's the difficulty? You're reading, you have to write a first response.
Is it really tenable to assert that someone doesn't hold Tam Kikar Bakul?
Well, the Gemara is, well, how do you know that? How do you know? So that's the problem we already dealt with. Which Tosus we mentioned says Rashi means Tam Kalish. But let's accept Tosus's reading of Rashi just for the moment. Putting that aside, I want to answer your question, even though that's not the question he should be asking. I think one of the central questions that you have to ask when learning is how do you know what you know? You said, how could anybody say Tam Kikar is not Daraisa? So I'm going to ask you the question, how do you know? In other words, you're making an assumption there, but how do you come to make that assumption? I think it's an incorrect assumption, because the Rishonim certainly hold not that way. And so the really question you have to ask is, how do you know that Tam Kikar is Daraisa? In other words, you know because you know the Din Lamaisa. You might know the Shulchan Aruch that Tam, you need to be Mevatel Tam, and that Tam Kikar is Aser. But the truth is, how do you know that you're not allowed to eat Chazir? Because the Torah says you can't eat Chazir. How do you know that you can't have the Tam of Chazir? Well, the Torah doesn't say that. Now, so okay, but obviously you misvara you could say that it's like you eating the chazir. Misvara you could also say that if you have a rove of non chazir, we know that achay rabim lahatos, that at least is a pasuk, okay. That's a pasuk, and therefore I would assume that no, that if you're not eating the chazir be'en, and be'en means either eating straight chazir, or at least where most of the tarovis is chazir, then maybe it's not prohibited by the Torah. So the real question is, how do we come to make certain assumptions that we make? Okay. Anyway, so put that aside for the moment. Okay, let's assume that there's a possibility that Tam Kikar can only be the Rabbanan. So Rashi says, based upon our Gemara, the Tam Kikar is the Rabbanan, and Midarais it's Bata Barov, and Midarabbanan they require Chishar Meir. Do you have any problems with this statement? I have one. Is that what your Gemara says? Ari?
First of all, yeah.
Okay. Whoa, hold on. So Rashi himself will eventually deal with that. But for the moment, but you can't, you know, that's not Pshuto Shel Mikra necessarily of either of them.
What about Mishra's
Yayin? Who says that the Yayin isn't the... Mishra's Yayin could be like a stew or brew, which is wine, and it may have other stuff in it. Who says that's Tom? I don't know. You know exactly what Mishras Anavim Lo Yishteh means. And you're drinking something. What's a Mishras Anavim?
Well, if it's a stew, I mean, what's the biblical word for consumption of a stew? Is it eating or drinking?
By the way, is a stew Tom Kikar or is a stew...
Mamish.
Let me ask you the following question. Okay, I'm going to torture you here with a little bit of... Well, knowledge is a dangerous thing. It's actually it's a strange place to find it, but it's actually in the footnotes in the Ritva. Chicken soup without chicken in it. Is that fleishik? If you hold that basar of bechalav is the rice, is that fleishik? So the answer is that depends whether tam ki ikar is the rice of the Rabbanan.
No.
It's whether the Daraisa Rabbanan. The story he quotes is, you know, we learn in Yoreday, you know, one afkamina with Tam Kikar Daraisa or Rabbanan is a nishpach and a safek. But they quote another one there as well. There's a well-known position on the Rishonim that when you have a cholashish basakana on Shabbos, and you have two choices, you can either shecht the behemoth to feed him or give him the vela. So you might have said, well, you give him nevela. Why? Because nevela is an iser lav, shchita is an iser misa, kares. So they say no. They say that it's better to b'shech, because then you violate one iser, whereas he eats nevela, every kezias that he eats is considered nevela. So apparently they quote from the Afike Yam, who said the name of Chaim, that really Medina, we do hold Tam Kikar. We don't hold Tam Kikar is the Raisa Medina. It's only a chumrah. And therefore, in such a case, if you have a choice between shechting an animal or giving someone chicken soup of a treif chicken, okay, on who's a cholashish basakana on Shabbos, it's better to give them treif chicken soup, because tam ki ikar, according to many shurim, is only the rabbanon, and therefore any isur rabbanon, no matter how many times you violate, is better than doing an isur daraisa. Ari, you're...
How can you say that?
Okay, so now I distracted you enough, so you finally came up with the proper question, which is exactly not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, I would have said, without the pasuk, I would have said that isurim are but that tam ki ikar, that you go basar rov, and that tam ki ikar would be, tam ki ikar would be mutter, so kamash malon. And that anything less than a robe would be mutter min haTorah. So kamash malan, that you need at least shishim or meh. You learn a chumra from zroa b'sheila. So when Rashi turns around and says, you see from this that tam ki'ikar is only the rabbanon. Tam ki'ikar is midoraisa beruba would be batel. And Tan Ki'ikar is only the Rabbanan, they would go there, and what were they go there on? So our Rashi, it doesn't say in Rashi, but the Shita Mekubetzes, they added in, and it's correct. Whether it's in the text of Rashi or not, it's compellingly correct in terms of what Rashi means. They add in, you read it, you heard that with Shishim.
Yeah.
Even if it's not in Rashi, that's what Rashi means. How do I know that's what Rashi means?
That's
what the Gemara keeps saying. No, maybe Rashi means that Tam Ki'ikar is the Rabbanan. once you have shishim and meah, even though you have tam kalush, it's mutter. How do I know that's not what Rashi means? Because he says the words before that midoraisa beruba batel. Now, is rov shishim or meah? Nowhere near it. In fact, not only is it not shishim or meah, it's not even kizayis bichtei achilas pras. Gezayis b'chtei achilas pras is what proportion fractionally?
1 in 12, 1 in 8.
1 in 6 or 1 in 8, depending on which shita you hold. Rov would be 1 in 2 plus. 1 in 2 plus. What's that? Okay, pashtus is 1 in 2 plus. Okay. As opposed to 1 out of 3. Okay, chad betray batel, I assume, means a majority. That just when you, it's a yavish biyavish metaphor. So how could Rashi turn around now and say midaraisa beruba batel, and midrabanan they asked it? The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said that with less than shishim or meah min haTorah, we would have said that it was batel berob. Kamash malan, the Torah tells us that you need shishim or meah. So according to the Gemara, min haTorah, what do you require in order to be mevatel an iser? Shishim or meah. How can Rashi turn around and say min haTorah beruba batel lemaskana? That was the havamin of the Gemara before we had the drasha of zera b'sheila. Ari?
Could be that Rashi's saying that as a form of havamin. Before we learned zera b'sheila, we would have said that
when he says the rabba less leitam ki ikar b'chulin ki the mefarish va'azil, you mean that's the havamin of Rava?
Yeah.
The possibility occurred to me, and I rejected it. I rejected it because all the other Rishonim don't read Rashi that way. It doesn't sound like that from Rashi. But I have to think if there was a reason why I thought internally it was demonstrable that it wasn't, that that's not what he meant.
So
basically, here's the problem. I'll tell you why it's very difficult. Because you're going to have to say now, when Rashi says, so what did you just say, Ari?
It could be because right after he quotes Rabbi Yochanan.
No, so I thought about that, but that's not docha your suggestion, because it could be Rava, the Havamin of Rava, was like the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Avodah Zarah. But I'm more bothered by the next step. The Hadi Alfino Leib of Sachem in Nazir or Mishras. So if it's not really if Rava doesn't hold this way, Lamaskana, why does Rashi feel the need to be Doha another Sugya? Just say, that Sugya is working with the Maskana of our Sugya. He's the Maskana of the Sugya of Sachem, which I decided we're going to wait till probably after the midterm to do. After we finish the sugya with the Rishonim here, then maybe we'll go to Psachim, we'll take a little detour. So, but if that sugya, the maskan and pashas in that sugya is the tam ki'ikar would be daraisa, based upon a mishras,
And if that's the case, so Rashi says, what is Rava going to do with that? And the answer is, it's an asmachta. So he's only saying it for Rava and the Havamina. It's, I think it would be highly uncharacteristic of Rashi to feel the need to be miyashev the Havamina, the sugya, with the maskan of another. It's highly unusual that Rashi generally tries to be miyashev sugya, two sugyos. It's not his derech. But certainly, to be concerned about the maskan of another sugya, which doesn't contradict our maskan, it's just the Havamina within Rava, is very difficult. None of the other be shown in red rock actually the way you're suggesting, but it's not a bad place to start. And so it's very, yes.
I'm also bothered with how to read the Gemara itself, because that may factor into the way Rashi is reading it here, which is, if you read the statement of Rava, right? What does that mean? Tam
it means Tam Kolshehu. Yeah. That part we can read the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that way.
What does Tam Kolshehu mean? Up till 6 year Meah. Right?
Even though you already have Shishim Meah, if you can still taste it, that's a Tam Kolshehu.
Right.
It means less than Shishim Meah.
Okay, right. Kamashma the Hachashari. Hachashari meaning that it's mutter.
By Zerah B'Shela.
Echad
b'shishim ameya, yeah.
B'shishim ameya, so that's the same exact thing.
No. The whole point is zeh hetar b'machalisa. Other kadshim, all kadshim except for zera b'sheila, even shisham ameya is not enough. If you have a tam kosher, it's aser. Bye, zera b'sheila.
We said tam kosher was up to shisham ameya.
No. Tam Kolshehu means even though you have Shishim Umeya Heter Kenegara Isser,
you still have
still, it's
up.
Still, even when you
yeah,
have.
Yeah, we said that's the Gemara is not Docha that as a possibility that you can have Tam still, even though you already have 100 times of Heter. Assuming it's not Tavlin, it's meat.
No. The Gemara says that the Gemara calls the range of less than 1/100, less than 1/60th, Tom Kiker, and that it's mutter.
Okay.
So this part of the sugya is assuming that you can have Tom. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be able to discriminate,
yes,
in terms of flavor that
very very
1/200th
very schwach taste of the Yisr you're going to have. Yes. Yes.
I thought that's the whole point of Bidl Vishishim Bidl Meya. That at that point you
so
don't taste it anymore.
I understand that it's difficult, but right now the way Tosus thinks Rashi is reading the sugya, then we may have an alternative. But the way and Rashi doesn't spell it out, the way Tosus thinks Rashi is reading the sugya, and the sugya really sounds like this. Pashtus in the sugya is that there is Tam even less than Shishim Meya, and that Tam is called Tam. That is also Tam Kiikar, and nonetheless it's Mutter. Now, how is that different? Where, if what if you didn't have
Mutter for Zerah B'Shela
and Chulin,
fine.
Less than Shishim Umeya, you know, can I get the Yisr?
1/50th, 1/40th.
Yes. Okay. Then that would be Osir Midaraisa. Now, I don't know what you want to call that. Do you want to call the Tam Kiikar B, or you want to just call that Mamash, or you want to call something? I don't know what you want to call it, but it sounds like Zerah B'Shela is only Mutter because it's the Yisr is less than 1/60th or 1/100th. I'm just going to say 1/60th for now.
Yeah.
It's less than 1/60th of the heter, and therefore it's mutter. And the same thing is true by chulin. Even if you can taste it, that tam ki'ikar is only the rabbanon.
Okay, so that's what pushes Tosfos into making two types of tam.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the Gemara sounds like it's calling
pachas
mi shishim ameya 1/200th. It sounds like it's calling that tam ki'ikar.
Right.
So we could accept that in the first part of Rashi, and Rashi now has grounds for assuming that Tam Ki'ikar by Chulin is the Rabbanon when you can taste it in less than Shishim or Meya. Now let me throw one little let me throw a curveball at you for a second. How do you know that Tam Ki'ikar of less than Shishim or Meya is mutter? Maybe it's because in less than Shishim Ameya, there might not be any tam. Or typically there's no tam. So the answer is because the Torah permits Zeruah B'Shela under all circumstances. Under all circumstances. And therefore, even if a Zeruah B'Shela should happen to flavor in less than 1/60th or 1/100th. Nonetheless, the Torah permits it, and therefore by Hulin the same thing holds true. Josh?
Why are we assuming that the Torah would say that there were cases that Ezra with Shela would flavor the animal? Maybe according to the Torah, when they say Bishushim, Ezra with Shela never, because the Torah in theory is aware of all possible cases of Ezra with Shela with regards to the rest of the animal or whatever, and 1/60th would never flavor. 1/60th is not an issue of Tom at all.
The problem with saying that is that you're then asserting the Torah is making a Metzias statement here. So it's hard for me to argue with you because I know that in some level it's true. But the Gemara doesn't seem to assume that. The Gemara seems to assume that you could, at least at this point, you could have some tam and less than shishameh, which would be called tam ki'ikar. But you're right. And as one could have said, well, the reason why the Torah says it's mutter is because it never ever happened. But couldn't you imagine some freakish animal? If it's freakish animal, you probably couldn't bring it as a carbon, it'd be a balmum. But, you know.
They're really tasty.
You know, Zroa, you know, but it probably would have to be a Zroa that was outsized, and one of its Avarim is too big, it's a Balmum. So you got, yeah, okay, now I've given that answer.
Well, then that isn't.
Unless all of it, what if it's all.
That would be the case, but if the Torah permitted even that, that would be the answer to your question. The fact that the Torah permits it in all cases means it's establishing a shear for you as opposed to telling you that there's no flavor in less than this. It's a good question.
If all of the slims were larger, then it would have the same proportion as the smaller one. So
what's
it
that?
Help.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
If all of its limbs were bigger, then it wouldn't help the proportion?
It would still be the limbs out of proportion to the body. I think that's also one of the moments. Okay. So, putting aside the problem in the Gemara, the problem is that if Rashi wants to argue that Tam Kikar is only Rabbanon, yes, it's true, when the Tam Kikar you're talking about is a Tam Kolish. How does he know that even when it's a Tam Chazak, that too is only the Rabbanon? And what is Rashi's definition? Kalish is less than Shishimumeya, and Chazak would be something more than Shishimumeya. And where does Rashi draw the line? At what point does Rashi say, how much for Rashi would you need in order to cross over into the Raisa territory based upon what he just said? Rove, or Mechza Mechza.
Why is that so hard to understand the Gemara?
Because the Gemara says we don't hold that way. The Gemara says. Yes, I would have said midoraisa based upon Achrei Rabin Lahatos. I would have said that if you don't have a rove of the Yisr, that is to find his head there. So therefore, what are we doing?
Kagam Rinan.
That from Zerah B'Sheila. What?
Kagam Rinan.
Wow, that's an astounding claim. So what you're claiming is that Rashi, who has not said the magical word, the entire Sugya, Asnachta, yeah, assumes the entire discussion is Asnachta. When the Gemara says the Midaraisa Beruba Batil, it means the Midaraisa Havamrinan Beruba Batil, based upon our Harm Lahatos, until we have the Xerisa Kasav Zerah B'Sheila, which teaches you that weak Tam Ki'ikar is Mutter, but real Tam Ki'ikar obviously is Asr. Thus, the Midaraisa Beruba Batil doesn't mean that it is, it means we would have said, until what are we being Gomer from Zerah B'Sheila? Meo Shishim. Right, the Midaraisa.
When you say Gomer, you're saying Gomer.
Learning.
I understand. With the weight of midaraita or midarabana?
It's usually what the word means, daraisa. Right? Don't we say gamrina la lame isha or something like that? Is the expression? That's
yes.
It in daraisa. Gamrina is usually a word that means, that refers to daraisa. I think it refers to daraisa drasha. Chaim?
Isn't the whole Zerah B'Sheila just providing the number 1 in 60 or 1 in 100, depending on how you look at it?
I don't care whether that's what you want to say or not, but the Gemara says that I learned from Zerah B'Sheila because I would have said Midaraisa, then would have been Barov, and I learned from Zerah B'Sheila Shishimameh.
Presumably Daraisa?
Yeah. Now, and if Rashi has really wants to say that, Jeremiah, I would have expected him to have said something to that effect. Yehuda? I'm tempted to say you just answered your question. Yeah, okay.
It's somewhere between an asmachta and a doraita, and that's what the Gemara is talking about.
You know,
look,
there.
There's a
passage in the Ritva, I think it's in Rosh Hashanah, where he claims that dinam drabana, which have an asmachta, Roshechta likes to quote this, are really, they're a little bit doraisa. They're more chamer than regular dinam drabana, because an asmachta means, I think this is a little bit of, not a mainstream shita, a mainstream view, but he says an asmachta is something that really the Torah wanted to, the Torah really should have been prohibited, but the Torah didn't want to assert it, really want to assert for us, so therefore we have an, therefore it gave us the only thrust matter. It's a little bit of a, you could argue that even without the theological piece, that didn't the Rabbanu Tasmachta is more chamer because the Rabbanu made an Asmachta for it. But to argue that was the divine intent, when the mice, it's not the, when it's not interpreted as divine intent, I find it to be difficult. But so is there such a category? But Rashi, you'd expect Rashi to say something. You expect Rashi to say something. So, okay. But anyway, so let's, that's a question in Rashi, and there's no very clear answer. Tosos is really not going to give an answer for Rashi. He just, you know, the Tosos explains the Tom Kalish piece, but he just says, how does Rashi get from there? If you look in Tosos just for a moment, if you look in Tosis, five lines before they get very wide, he says, "V'hashta tema keva." Now that he explained Rashi with Tam Kolish, is what we're talking about with Tam Kikar. Tema keva dechaka lo ayri the Tam Gomor al bechol shehu mi dechaka lefarish the Rava isle Tam Kikar bechol mabda raisa keva dechaka lo ayri the Tam Gomor al bechol shehu kedeprishus. That's his effectively. That's his question. How does Rashi make the leap to say that Rava holds that all Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanan, and all Tam Kikar means up to Rove? If after all the Gemara said it by was by Tam Kolish, and I would say Adarabba, the Gemara is clear that less than Shishim Ameah should be Asim in HaTorah, the fairish against what Rashi concludes. So we'll have to, the Ritva is going to attempt to try to defend Rashi. He thinks Rashi's right, and he's going to try to explain Rashi, but we'll put that aside for the moment. But that is Rashi's position. Now, Rashi quotes a Gemara. I don't know if you read, and let's read on. I don't know if if I had you read it yet. Oh, no, I didn't. V'hachi nami.
V'hachi nami shmainam le'ed Rav Yochanan in the second word of Zara. Kol shetam lo v'lom l'masho en lo v'lom.
Now, let me ask you a question. According, before you read this line, according to Rashi, when does something become usher? What proportion of Tarovis do you need to have of Isser? Up until this point, what's the threshold? Rov, right? He said midoraisa beruba batal. He quotes the, what we thought was the hava meaning of the Gemara. He quotes as the maskana, the midoraisa beruba batal. And now he says v'hachi nami shamin leid Rabbi Yochanan maseches avodah zarah. Rabbi Yochanan says what in avodah zarah? Tam. Without mamash, you don't get malchus. Now, how does Rashi? What does Rashi understand that to mean? That ain't lokan alav. Doraisa the rabbanon. The rabbanon. And therefore, you see, Rabbi Yochanan also holds Tam Kikar as the Rabbanan. Now, one minor problem here. Rashi says Rava holds that there's no, that Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanan. He says, and similarly, we see from Rabbi Yochanan Avodah Zarah Kol Shatam of Lama Masho Ein Lokan Alav. So we said yesterday, Ein Lokan Alav could mean you don't get Malchus, or Ein Lokan Alav could mean that it's Asa Midaraisa, or means it's not Asa Midaraisa. That's why you don't get Malchus. So Rashi is Mashma. He Rashi understands that Gemara. Means it's only asim midrabbanan. So he says, just like Rava holds here, tam kikar lav daraisa. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that way. If ein lokan lav meant asim midrabbanan, then he would have invoked Rabbi Yochanan, because right now he's not talking about onesh. He's just talking about whether it's asim midrabbanan or midrabbanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say in Avodah Zarah? Right. What is he says that kizayis bechteyachi das pras is daraisa.
Is that actually Rabbi Yochanan, or just Rabbi
Abba saying the name Rabbi Yochanan? That's, for all intents and purposes, the same, unless another Amora disagrees. It's not the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, it's a citation. It is a direct citation. So unless there's another Amora who argues on Rabbi Abba, we accept that that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant. So, what is Rashi doing? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like Rava, at least not the Rava that Rashi presented. Rava says that Minatorah is Batal Barov. Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you can say the Achilas Pras, it's also Minatorah. And you get Malchus for it. He doesn't say how much you have to eat. That he doesn't say. Now, whether he's like Rabbeinu Chaim or the Rambam, he doesn't say. But he does say it's also Minatorah. So how do you explain this in Rashi? Rashi in Avodah Zarah, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, writes explicitly that Tam Ki Ikar is the Rabbanan up until Kazayas b'theachi las pras. Rava does not hold that way according to what Rashi said here. So how do you put this together? How do you explain what Rashi just said? Rashi knew the Gemara. How does he say here, v'chein?
He doesn't hold like Rava.
Rashi doesn't hold like Rava? Rashi says, Rava les leitam kikar b'chulen, v'hachan ami shamin le Rabbi Yochan m'secha savo d'zara. The answer is quite simple. One of you suggested to me in Seder. Ari, was that you? Who suggested the answer to me in Seder? Somebody. Is there somebody not here? Okay. Even if you weren't, Professor, you could suggest it to me. Yes?
What if there are three levels? Right? There is Kizayid Tochadeh Chilat Pras, there's Kizayid Shalot Tochadeh Chilat Pras, and there is Tamo Veloma Masho, meaning Lama Sho means that there's not even Kizayid of substance for you to eat. It's just not.
That's a big stretch. Yehuda?
Rashi can say that Rabbi Rav Yochanan disagree on what the borderline is for when Tanki Yikar comes into effect. In fact, now there is, they both hold the same.
Correct. Somebody, I don't know who said this, but that's, I think, correct. That's what probably Rashi means. He's not quoting Rabbi Yochanan to say that Rabbi Yochanan agree on the fine print of the agreement. It's that Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan both hold that even though you can taste the Iser, which will happen certainly if Rove is the threshold, and even if Kezayas Bechtechi Las Pras, so they both hold it's Rabbana. It's not the same shear that they hold, but they both hold the Tam, that even though you can, they both hold our situations where you have real Tam of the Iser, and still it's only Asa Mid the Rabbana. That's probably what he holds. Einachanami, Rava and Rabbi Yochanan don't agree on what Rashi would say here for Rava. Both Rava and Rabbi Yochanan would distinguish between Tamo versus Mamasho. Rabbi Yochanan says the dividing line between Tamo and Mamasho is Kizayas B'Achilas Pras. Rava, according to Rashi here, says that the dividing line is Rove. So they dip now, but what they both agree upon is that when you have Tamo velo Mamasho, it's Mutta Midaraisa. So they happen to disagree where the line is drawn. But nonetheless, those Rishonim will hold that Tam Kikar is really Asa Minat Torah, hold that any time, throw Tam Kolosha for the moment. Any time you can really taste the food, it's Asa Midaraisa. Whether you do or don't get Malkus is immaterial right now. But both Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rashi's reading, hold that even though you can taste mamish the tam, you can taste the tam of the Isser powerfully, both of them hold that sometimes it's still only the Rabbanan. For Rava, it's only the Rabbanan when you have a majority of kosher food. For Rabbi Yochanan, it's only the Rabbanan when the Isser is less than a Kazayas B'Techilas Pras. In both cases, for each Amor respectively, you taste the Isser very clearly, and nonetheless it's only also the Rabbanan. So that's the point that when Rashi says, V'cheinam Rabbi Yochanan, V'chein Shaminan Lei, the Rabbi Yochanan, it's not that he agrees with Rava. It's not that he agrees with Rava on the details, but he agrees with the principle that you can have such a thing as real Tam and Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanan.
And this is putting the Rashi and the Avodah Zarah aside.
Because Rashi there is explaining Rabbi Yochanan.
No, but Rashi there seems to imply that Tam of Olam Moshe Ogan Rabbi Yochanan is also being there right now, just to not be able to come out
for it. Really? Maybe Avodah Zarah.
What?
Oh, okay, fine. So that's all right. But the Pashas in the Gemara until said otherwise, Zain Lokan Alav means it's also mid the Rabbanan. That we agreed upon, that you agreed upon yesterday. You were the one who said that. Right? The Stam assumption Zain Lokan Alav, unless you say otherwise, it's only the Rabbanan.
I thought we said differently in
your idea. No, I don't think so. I think Rashi in both places assumes the Rabbanan, but he gives a different shear. And it may just be because it's Rava versus Rabbi Yochanan. That's all. Okay. Now, one last point in yes, Josh?
I'm sorry. Can you just frame the exact options that we have? Like, what Maskan of the Gemara is, what Rava is, what Rabbi Yochanan is?
Just the way Rashi reads, Rashi understands that the Maskan of the Gemara here somehow, we don't know how he sees this, is that Minat Torah, Isser is Batel Beheter Berov. Even though you can taste it. Even though there's Tam Minat Torah, it's not Ki'ikar. Tam Ki'ikar, that the Tam of the Isser is to be treated as if the Isser were there, is only Midrabana. So that's what Rashi understands Rava's position here, that Midoraisa Beruba Batu. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Beferish, Rabbi Yochanan holds Tamo Velo Mamasho Ein Lokan Alav, assume that means the Rabbanan. Tamo U Mamasho Lokan Alav, which obviously means the Doraisa. What is the definition of ta'am over lo mamasha, which is only the Rabbanon? The Gemara says beferish, less than a kezayis betoch kedei achilas pras.
So, I guess I got lost somewhere. What happens to Zerah b'Sheila and Shishin?
So we don't know how Rashi read the Gemara. The Gemara sounded like Zerah b'Sheila was the model. So we don't know how Rashi leaped the Grand Canyon yet. In fact, unless you say that Rashi held that the Gemara is really only a smachta. And therefore, what you see from this is that Tam Ki'ikar, and if you say that Zerah b'Sheila is only an asmachta, if you say that, then what is the how do things work on a daraisa level? Midaraisa, beruba batil. Okay. So how does Rashi conclude now, Yehuda? Aha. Now, Rashi says something here, very, very important. He preempts, essentially, a very important question of Tosfos. Svira leil lehu amorai basrai. That's only an asmachta. What is Rashi saying to you when he says, Svira lehu amorai basrai?
Is he saying that's coming from the Stamlai or something?
No. Because it would appear to be Rava here, unless... The point is, you read the Sugya Masechta, and Tosfos is going to argue the Pashtus is that it's a real drasha. So Rashi says here, Amorai Basrai, which I take it to mean Amorai, maybe Rava in our Sugya. I don't know what you do with Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan's, well, is there other problems with Rabbi Yochanan, that the Amorai don't necessarily, that Sugya read the Pesukim is a real drasha. But Amorai Basrai might not. They might disagree, and therefore they can turn around and say that Tam Kikar is really on the Rabbanon. Oh, Mishras? That's the Smachta. Oh, the Gemara Pesachim doesn't sound like it? Sounds like it's a real drasha? Yeah, the Gemara Pesachim, that sugya treated as a real drasha. But the other later Amorai disagreed and thought it was only an Smachta. Okay?
Which means that our Gemara is later?
Later than that sugya, yes. Although, it's not clear at all. In other words... Yes.
Didn't we just say that it should work the other way around because the Gemara Pesachim should be working with the Maskana from our sugya?
Who said that?
What was we said about? Maybe we said the other direction.
I didn't take any. I try not taking any position.
Oh.
No. I just I just explain. If Rashi, in fact, were not adopting a position against the sugya Pesachim, the Maskana of that sugya, then. He would have no... In other words, if Rashi were just a Habamina, the way Ari suggested, then there would be no stira between the maskan of this sugya and the maskan of that sugya. So why would Rashi feel compelled to be Mataritz? It was just a Habamina of Rava. That's something else. But I think the maskana...
So which one is he Mataritz against the other one?
So he's Mataritz by saying that the maskan of that sugya is not the maskan of this sugya, and that the Amorai Basrai disagreed with the maskan of that sugya. And they held that the Drasha Mishras is an Asmachta.
It
doesn't say. I'm going to assume for the moment Rava. I don't want to say Rabbi Yochanan because it's hard to term Rabbi Yochanan Amorai Basrai.
And remind me, I apologize, Rava is what generation?
Fourth.
Would we generally call that? I mean, is Amorai Basrai a phrase that used, relatively in terms of what.
How do I know that Rava and Abai are Amorai Basrai? Here you have to have a little bakias. I mean, so either do or don't have this. There's a famous Ari.
I mean, you could say that they're all right, that's right, from the period of from the perspective of the Nachal Sai. Does Nachal Sai include in that generation? That's the point where
you've been reading Oppenheimer too much right now. Just so let me say that this point out the following. There is a Tosfos. I think there's a Tosfos. I don't know if it's in Tosfos or it's only in the Ran, in the beginning of the second Perek Kiddushin, where they ask a question. There's a stira between two Klalei Apsak. On the one hand, we say that Ein Halacha Ketalmud B'Makam Harav. On the other hand, we say Hilchas HaKavas Roy. So you had to resolve the two. So what does the Ran say? I think it's the Tosfos, actually, but I know it's certainly in the Ran. How does he resolve the problem? Why didn't you say that? Halacha is like Ketalmud B'Makam Harav. If you have an argument with me, we say Hilchas HaKavas Roy, and we're passing like you. Okay, so if you haven't finished your day yet, so you can't argue, you have to first know. But okay. But putting that aside, how do you distinguish between these two Klalim? So Tosfos says that that there's a divide, a generational divide. Up until Rav and Abaye, Ein Halacha K'Talmud B'Makom HaRav. After Rav and Abaye, I believe it's Rav and Abaye onward, if I'm not mistaken, we say that Hilchos HaKavas Roy. So, now, I don't mean to suggest there's a link between the word Basrai there and Basrai and Rashi, but the point is when Rashi calls him Arai Basrai, it may be that the Rishonim, I don't know if Rashi held up this call, may have perceived Rav and Abaye constituting, you know, a later Tekufa. I mean, it's about midway through, actually. If you want to assume seven generations of Arai, it's smack in the middle. And so it's not totally unreasonable. If you want to consider Rav and Abaye marked a paradigm shift in learning since they were the first Amoraic briskers, so then certainly it makes sense to call them Basrai. Okay? Fine.
You better just wait till the Rav isn't around.
So anyway, the Rashi says, Asmachta bi'amahu v'lav mi'alafu, me'alafu. What is a me'alaf? A real limud, right? That's the word yalef in Aramaic, to learn. Okay, fine. Dahava luhu, and why don't you learn from him? This is drawing from the Gemara. Dahava luhu. Okay, so both Nazir, Mishras, and Gilea of the Kochavim, this is a Gemara that Rashi is really adopting, which might suggest, how does Gilea of the Kochavim teach you Tom Kicker?
What is
Gilea? What are Gilea of the Kochavim? What is the word? Ooh, that's a good word. Ga'almim. And if anybody tells me to redeem, I will throw you out of shear. I promise you, I will not let you enter. What? Ah, so, the answer is no. So, the answer is no. You are correct. There is a biblical Hebrew word, Gimel Ayin Lamed, which means to abhor. V'gal lo nafshi eschem. Or v'lasigal nafshi eschem. But that is a different, I believe that word is possibly unrelated. I don't know if it's the same root. It could be a different ayin. What is the, there's only one example of it in Tanakh that I'm aware of. It's an eof. It's paraso sagil or something like that. I don't remember where. I don't remember where it is. You need to have to search on the computer.
Where is that here when you need it?
So that word means it seems to be to spit out, to emit, to produce forth. It sounds like it has something. Give birth in the right time. Sure does. Probably means to push the blot out.
Has nothing to do with like disgust.
No, that's from Tanya. It has nothing to do with it. And then we show to point out that that's the origin of the term Gileakum. Okay, if you find the first place in Shas where the term appears, Rashi will probably quote you. Somebody will quote you that pasuk. So anyway, so what a Gileakum? It means what is it anyway? Forget what the origin.
Is that the word Haggalah comes from?
Yes. That is what Haggalah means. It means in causing it to be maflit, to spit out. Okay, so the term, the Gile Klakum means, Gile Klamidyan means Kalim, Blias Kalim. Now, Blias Kalim, as you well know, is only Tam. It's not Mamish. The fact that the Torah, no matter how you understand it, whether it be Ben Yom or even out of Ben Yom, it's a machlokas. We know la halacha that you cook in a kli, it's not a Ben Yom, and the food is mutter. But that's a machlokas in the Gemara. But bottom line is certainly the Torah prohibits under some circumstances giule kleyakum, in which case it means that tam kikur is the reisa. So Rashi says that nazir and giuleyakum are shneiks um abayin kechad. What is shneik? I just like a lucid explanation from anybody. What does it mean you have shneiks um abayin kechad? Explain to someone who wouldn't understand. Who's not? What does shneik sum abayin kechad mean? Jeremy?
You play with that today.
So let someone else explain it. Ari?
It's when you have, if you have two psukim that come in and stay in the same principle, then you only limit it to those two.
Why?
Because there would be no reason otherwise.
So that we have a rule of a binyanav, and normally you make a binyanav mikas of echad. If the Torah tells you the din twice, it must be that these are the exceptions, not the rule. Unless there's a reason why you couldn't learn from one as opposed to the other, in which case, and that's why you couldn't learn from one alone, in which case you make what's called a
binyanami
shneksufim. You can even have more. There's a machlokus whether, in a situation where you don't need more than one pasuk, there's a machlokus whether shneksum abayin kecharei malamdin. Rashi assumes here it's not. Everybody agrees shloshak sum abayin kecharei malamdin. Okay, fine. I think the sugya is in Kiddushin. I mean, it's mentioned many times in Shas. I think it's in Kiddushin by, I want to say by Shein V'ayin of an Eved. That's where it comes up. I mean, it's may not the only place. I think that's the main sugya. Anyway, so Rashi says, if Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kechat, or alternatively, he says, Inami. Hold on one second. So I just realized I didn't understand something in Rashi. The Rashi doesn't make sense. Does this make sense in Rashi? He first said Lab Mi Alefu. So why does he say Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kechat?
Because we can't learn to other things. It's limited to these two cases.
He says it's an Asmachta. Lab Mi Alefu. The reason why you can't learn to other things is because it's an Asmachta. So you can learn Rabbanu, you can't learn Daraisa. Why does it's almost like this Rashi, the pieces in Rashi are flipped. Namely, either you say it's an Asmachta, or you say it's a real drasha, but it's Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kechat. Now, but then you're still left with a question. If you say that Mishras is only an Asmachta, what do you do with Giulei Klei Midyan? Because Giulei Klei Midyan you can't say it's an Asmachta. Why not? Because it's a Peferish Pasuk. You know, Mishras you could read differently, as I suggested earlier. You can't read Giulei Klei Akum is pretty much anything else, right? I mean, there might be creative ways to read it, but nobody really takes that seriously. So bottom line is, so Rashi now says, Inami, go ahead. No, I take it back. He wasn't thinking about the last line. Yeah, Rashi says it could be that they both are real drasha, so it's not Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kechat. Giulei Klei Akum is a chiddush. Giulei Klei Akum is a chiddush, and what do you do with? I guess that's what's really going on. What do you do with Mishras though? Because if Giulei Klei Akum is a chiddush, then you can't say it's Shnei Ksuvim Bar Kechat anymore. Why? Because we say tzricha. You need both psukim. So the answer is Mishras. What will you do with that? Leheter Mitzdarif Leiser. What does Heter Mitzdarif Leiser mean? You don't have to answer that question. When we do psachim, we'll do that. If you want to take a stab at it, that's fine, but it's a very difficult concept. Yeah, what is hetem and star
flisser? Pretty much that in most cases, when you eat a heter and a miser together, we don't mind ensuring that to make it one big qualified miser, but we do by nazir.
No, forget whether by nazir or not.
Sounds like the kachal of the case.
I want to torture you. I want to torture you. What do they mean? You eat the Isser of Hetter together. What do they mean? Do you have a mixture of them?
You have a mixture of Nazir, and you eat, I think the case is wine, and you eat bread, maybe, together.
So what do you mean you eat them together?
Dip the bread and wine.
Thank you for falling into my snare. Okay, you dip the bread and wine. So why is that Hetter Mitzvah Lisser? What is that?
Well, really, it's Mamish, but nobody's going to tell you that.
It's Tom Kikar.
So not. You're drinking the wine. It's in the bread. So what if it's in the bread? It's Mamish.
Which is more?
It's Mamish in the bread.
Which is more volume, bread and wine?
Why, it's going to be Iker and Tuffel makes it not Mamish?
I asked you which is more.
I don't know.
What? The bread. Wine. The bread. So wine. Why isn't that Tom Kikar?
What's the wine?
Doesn't every Tom Kikar? And now, if you start thinking Rabbeinu Tam, isn't Hetem Itzdarif Leiser for Rabbeinu Tam the definition of Tom Kikar? It means Rabbeinu Tam says that when you can taste the Tam, the entire Tarovis is also, if you eat a Kazayas, of the tarovas yechayev midaraisa. So that's why. So what exactly is the difference between hetem and starif liser, if it means dipping your bread in the wine and tam kikar? So that's why I don't want to talk about it right now, and that's why you don't have to explain what hetem and starif liser is. Although you were on the right track, I tried to push you off the right track, but you learned lichting where I'm sachem. It does sound like you take bread, a bite of bread, bread and wine, you make a bread and wine sandwich, but you make a bread and grape sandwich or something like that. You eat them together where the grapes haven't flavored the bread. You're just eating them in the same bite, literally in the same mouthful, heter mitzdarif leiser. Even though you only have half a kazayas of a grape, and you have half a kazayas of bread, and you make a mini sandwich, you know, like an Oreo with where your grape is the cream and the bread is the cracker, and you eat it like that. Hetem mitzdarif leiser means even though the grape did not flavor the bread because you chew it in the same mouth, the bread is mitzdarif to the iser of the grape, and you've eaten a kazayas of iser. I mean, it's like you've eaten a kazayas of iser. That's we have to deal with that when we go to Pesachim. That's why I don't want to touch that with 10-foot pole now. It has to be worked on. There's a lot to work on in that Gemara. But for the moment, Rashi says that either you say that the two psukim are shneik soma ban kachat, or you argue that giulei klei midyan is a chiddush, and hetem mitzdarf leiser, and mishras as tam kikar is only a smachta. What mishras really teaches you is hetem mitzdarf leiser. Okay. The problem, of course, is, and this is why I don't want you to go into it. You see it. Mishras sounds exactly what Ben said. And the question is, why isn't that Tom Kiker? Right, yeah, so that's why it's a little bit of a confusing
The real question is, why is it mamish?
Because when you eat a substance that's a mixture, you follow a rove to define it.
So I could take fat and blood and milk and pour it into my meat and it doesn't exist anymore. Whether or not I have bittul.
Mamasho does not exist, correct. That's what Abaye said, by the way. Abaye said by milk and... Well, I mean, you could debate exactly what his case was, but he said, want to use basa b'chol as the proof of tam kikar d'oraisa. Because if not for tam kikar d'oraisa, why would you require... Well, no, actually, that's a different point. But the bottom line is that's not mamasho anymore, correct? For mamasho, at least the assumption right now is, mamasho is either kizayis b'chias pras or ro. It's one of the two. Nobody argues on that. We can argue when you don't have mamasha, when you only have tam, whether it's the raisa, the rabban, if it's the raisa, when you get malchus, and so on and so forth. But everybody agrees that to be called mamasha shel iser, you need to have either a ksash b'achilas pras or a rov. Okay, yeah, there are two different tracks, and I want to discuss that right now. But bottom line is that without a special gzeres akasa somehow of tam ki ikar, then only mamasha would have been aser, and that would have been one of those two choices. Alec?
We see a Rashi that said that made a distinction between Amino and Bishano Amino about whether or not it's called Mamash or not.
Yes, Rashi pointed out yesterday on. Well, no, he didn't say. Well, the answer is yes, but that's a case. No. Rashi goes a step further. What Rashi says there is that by min b'shein amino, if you can't taste it anymore, it's lesa. We would agree with that, but the reality is that if you have a kezayis, that Rashi's case is a situation where you are far less than even kezayis d'achilas pras. Whereas by min b'amino, he just says since the taste doesn't disappear, you just don't know when you're tasting it, it's isa b'ine, that's all. You might call that mamasha shel iser. I don't want to say he calls that mamash. He's not even going to call that mamash or shalisser.
Well,
just,
is there a difference between mamash and ba'en?
I don't know. There might or might not be, but it's not. Let's not. I don't want to go into that right now. Let's put that aside for the moment. So let's take a look at Tosos. Okay. So we've, I think, laid the groundwork for Tosos, where most of Tosos should be easy. It's a little bit of work to get through some of it, but go ahead, Yehuda. All right, so those are his terms. So I use the term Tom Kolosh, and I made up term Tom Chazak, but Rashi says Tom Koldehu versus Tom Gomel. So that's a big Kiddush, but it sounds like, I mean, how else do you read the Gemara according to Rashi? The Gan Tzarech Lomar.
The Gan Tzarech Lomar, just a high Gavna, Asur Bekachim.
The Tosa says that by kachim, it must be according to the Gemara that all kachim except for Zerah B'Sheila is usur even less than shishim meah, even though it's only a kol shehu. Now I do have a problem with this line in Tosa. What's the problem? Is that really what the Gemara is? It really a kol shehu? What does kol shehu mean? What? No. What does kolshu normally mean? Until everything we've seen now in Chul and Yerah there. When we said something's a kolshu, what does that mean, Yosef?
Any amount regardless of whether or not there happens to be a kolshu.
Any amount. It's like a kolshu. It's osir b'mashu, I should say. Amashu. Right? What was so funny? I meant the mashu. Yes, a mashu. So that's what Tosa sounds like he's saying. That it sounds like all the kachim is osa b'mashu. But that's not what Tosfos just said. That's not what Rashi would say. If you believe there's such a thing as a Tam Kolosh, Tam Koldahu, unless that's not what Tosfos is saying, where it's somehow discernible, but it's not really strong. There's something here, but I can't tell exactly what it is. But it leaves a Roshem, but it's not Shishim or Meah. So maybe that's what's Aser by Shar Kachim. Maybe if on the Tam meter literally measures zero, Rashi would agree it's not Aser by Shar Kachim. Now what Tosfos is turning around now and doing for Rashi is saying that Tam Kolshu, or Tam Kolosh, is Mashahu. Is Mashu, but that, I don't
you
think
you can never find out even with a Kvela.
What's
it's
that?
Really zero.
Correct. And what
ever.
The Gemara wouldn't have called. I hear saying that it almost indistinguishable taste, but a funny taste where something has happened to the food, but you can't really, you don't know it's the Isser, but you know something has happened to it. I could see calling that Tam Ki'ikar. How is it conceivable that anybody would read the Gemara saying that an Isser Mashahu was called Tam Ki'ikar when it's literally Mashu, where no human being could taste it, where it's totally indiscernible? That cannot be what Rashi would mean if he's adopted the first approach.
That's what I was saying before about Shishin and Meah. That we define Shishin as Meah. That's when Tom starts, and that's when real Tom starts.
I want to know: can you taste it in less than Shishin and Meah or not?
No.
Not at all.
No.
So.
I mean.
So then what? So then.
No,
so,
not at all. Yes, colors, whatever, fine.
I know.
But I mean.
No, what I'm telling you is that if the makor is going to be from Zerah B'Sheila, that Tam Kolosh is mutter, we call that Tam Ki'ikar, and it's mutter. By Zerah B'Sheila, it's mutter by Chulim. If Tam Ki'ikar is mutter, but not Tam Gomor, so then it means there's some type of taste. That's not Isser Mashuhu. Isser Mashu means, though, even though it's totally indiscernible, I'm still not allowed to eat it. When we say Yai Nesach is Oser B'Kol Shehu, okay, or any of the things that are Oser B'Kol Shehu, that means that I would never be able to taste it. One ten thousand, there's no time whatsoever. It's totally indiscernible. It's still Oser.
Only made the minute.
Those cases, Not what you're saying now is not actually correct. A beria is batel. If somehow were indistinguishable, a beria would be batel, would not be batel even by mimishen amino.
But that's a dinder abana.
I understand that, but the point is, I accept that. But the point is that an isser mashahu, the notion of an isser mashahu. Is something that you cannot have any kind of, even though you have absolutely no taste. And it's not just because even though in my case happens to be the Rabbanon, the fact is that the Mashahu would never have the capacity of any type of, and it's such a small amount, you couldn't call, if you had the same amount in a Min B'Shein Amino, you wouldn't call it Tam Ki'ikar. You wouldn't call it Tam Ki'ikar.
Because if it's Be'elah, then it's Bata.
I agree, but that's not even Tam Kolosh.
It's not Tam Achar.
Correct, and so that's not what the Gemara is talking about when it says Tam Ki'ikar, which is Mutter by Zerah B'Sheila and by Chulin. So what I'm saying, I'm arguing there have to be at least three different categories. Tam Gomor, which is what we would call, what we thought Tam Ki'ikar means and what it does mean, Lahalacha. Tam Kolosh, and then Mashahu. Yeah.
Except I think...
And what's that? And my point is here, the answer to Tosa's question is that the that which is usher by kachim except for Zerah B'Sheila is Tam Kolosh. What would be mutter even by regular kachim would be Mashahu. You know, unless you hold like Rabbi Huda, Mimimino is not bata. And only by Mimimino would that apply.
What
yeah.
There's another way to read the Tosfos, and there's a Shinichino Yerza and Oz Mahadar was to support this ultimate reading.
Okay.
I'll just read it the way that with the current Yerza, and then I'll demonstrate the change Yerza.
Okay.
The Tam Ki'ikar the Kamar, La the Tam Gamorhu, Sik, Dahad, Tam Ki'ikar, Bethel Bamei Bashishim, Tam Koldehu. That Tam Ki'ikar is a Tam Bethel Bamei Bashishim, which is Tam Koldehu. And the Girsa change that I have, and I'll just read it with the Girsa change is Tam Ki'ikar the Kamar, Lav Tam Gamorhu, Ela Tam Koldehu, Dahad Bethel Bamei Bashishim. meaning tam ka'ikar is tam kolhu, which is tam l'tzbachim mei v'shisha.
Okay. But that's not going to solve any problems for us.
Well, yes, it does, because then saying tam gamor is perhaps rov, right?
Read the next line. Megan tzarech lomar d'chi agavna aser b'kodshim. Ya'afogat lo havei elamashehu. So you have to say that in parallel is aser by kodshim, even though it's only a mashehu. It's not going to help you. It's not going to get around this problem.
They may have a different verse for that as well. I'm not exactly sure if they have a b'chi agavna aser. I'm not sure if they include kodshim or not.
But we don't. It's impossible. It's not whatever the gear says. It's not going to undermine the basic question. B'chi parach continue. B'chi parach b'gemara v'ligmar.
B'chi parach b'gemara minay. When the gemara asks, b'gemara minay, I'm the least true. Afasar kachim b'kach b'samach. It's Rav b'sheila.
So that's how Tosa sets up Rashi. That's how he presents Rashi. Rashi holds there's two kind of tam of iser. There's an Isser Gomer and there's Isser Kol Shehu or Kol Dehu. And that which we say Tom Kiker is Mutter by Zerah B'Sheila and by Hulin is Tom Kol Dehu. And by Kachim, even other Kachim, even Tom Kol Dehu would be Asser. So now Tosa says, Vahashta. Oh. So Tosa says, what's Tosa's question? I read this before. How does Rashi leap from this to assume that Tam Ki'ikar Lagamri by Chulin up until a rov is only the Rabbanon? Maybe only Tam Ki'ikar that's the Rabbanon is when you have less than Shishim or Mea. But once you have more, the Gemara says Beferish. The Gemara says Beferish. I would have said. And it's not just me Dachak or what forced Rashi. I don't really understand Tosa's question. It's more than that. The Gemara says Beferish not so. It's mashma that less than Shishim or Meya would in fact be Mutter. Okay. But anyway, certainly it's a Kal v'chomer hour question. And now he continues. Stop for a second. So what does Tosa say here? And it's clear, and I'm bothered by this, because you didn't have to ask this question on Rashi. What's Tosa's question here? Yehuda?
I think he's asking that if it's true that Rashi is talking about a case of culture as opposed to establishment.
Right, okay. So forget my problem with that, but yes.
Right.
So then,
how can it possibly be that you're not owing, meaning that it's not mutter, meaning that it's such a minuscule amount, how can it possibly be that we're actually going to serve by kachim, that it's always us?
Why not? How does Tosus know not? Because we know that the dam of the power is not mevatel the dam of the sire. What kind of a paradigm is that? So for the Chachamim, it's that Ein Olin Mevatlin. Don't mistake that word. Olin there does not mean to be batel. Ein Olin Mevatlin Zoazo is the Gemara's expression that two things that brought on the Mizbeach cannot be Mevatel each other. Rabbi Yehuda, that's how they understand the Dam and the Dam. It's not because it's Membemino. Rabbi Yehuda says because it's Membemino. So if you were to take Kachim, which was not Olin on the Mizbeach, it was eaten, like the Basar of the Chatas, and it wasn't Membemino, so they want Aser B'mashu. That's very clear. The only time that Oser B'mashu is the Ein Dam of Atal Dam. It's either by Olin or by Mimimino. So take the, you know, take both together. And how can Rashi say that by all Kachim, Iser Mashu, Mashu would Aser? So I don't understand Tosis' question, because Rashi didn't say Mashu. Rashi said Tam Kalush. It's not the same thing.
How do we know it's not the same thing?
Well, how can you say, if Isser Mashu means, Tosus clearly thinks Mashu is a Mashu, how could the Gemara call Mashu Tam Kiker?
How do we know that Tosus says Kolshu is Kolshu and not Kolshu?
Because his Raya is from Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. And what we see, Rabbi Huda holds there that Mim Mimino is never Batel. That means even B'Kolshu, even less than the Shear,
of a Tam Kalish. And the Chachamim hold it's not a Mimimino question. Because here's where I'm going to nail you to the wall on this issue. The Chachamim hold ain't Olin of Atlan Zoaso. Olin don't have to be the same flavor. It means no matter how little of Olar you have, you know, no matter how little you have of Min X, you know, in Min Y, Olin are not Mivatlan Zoaso. No matter how little you have, this is Mimishen Omino. There's absolutely no taste. It's an Isser Mashu. By Mimishen Omino, the Chachamim say Olin are not Mivatlan Zoaso. So what do you see? That if it weren't for the fact that they're Olin, it would be Batel.
Listen.
That's Tosis's Raya, but there's no Tom there. That's Mash, even a Mashahu. That's not even a Tom Kolish.
That's dumb. So we're dealing with something other than Achila.
No, it doesn't. It's irrelevant. The point is the way you determine that something is no longer present is because you can't. You have to be able to discern it. If you could taste it, that's a way of discerning
its
presence.
Right. And taste to Ima is not Shaya to dumb.
Yes, it is. Because in theory. That the Chachamim would apply in cases of anything that are go Olin on the Mizbeach. Theoretically, you could taste the Dam. Dam and Dam, you're not going to taste. But the din of Dam and Dam for the Chachamim is not just Dam and Dam. It could be Dam and Basar if you could construct such a case. And you could taste one and the other in theory. But the Chachamim hold it's also even Mamashahu if they're Olin. And it's not Batel. Even if you can't taste it, even if it's a Mashahu. So what? So Tosa says, you see what? That if it's not Olin and it's not Mimimino, everybody agrees that it's Batel B'Mashahu. But that's not what Rashi. So Tosa says, how can Rashi say what he's saying? But that's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that Tam Kolush is not Batel by Kachim. Rashi, you agree, right? And so I don't. How does Tosa? And if you want to say that Tosa's Tam Koldahu means literally a Mashu, how could the Gemara call it Tam Kikar? Even if you want to say it doesn't have to be a Tam Gomer, there has to be something about it to say that's called Tam Kikar when it's Mashu that. Ridiculous. That can't be. I don't understand. This kash I don't understand on Rashi. Okay, so Rashi would say like this. Rashi would say that Rashi could have said, before Rashi makes his grand leap to any kind of tam, even less than Shishim, Rashi would say the following. Less than Shishim Umeya is Aser by Chulim, it's Aser by Zerah B'Sheila. Shishim Umeya, but you still have a tam kalush, is Mutah by Zerah B'Sheila, it's Mutah by Chulim, but it's Aser by Shar Kachim. Kol Shehu? Mashahu is only Aser either by Olin or for the Chacham or Mivamina Rabbi Yehuda. That's what I would have said. This is not a kash on Rashi. Moshe?
Could it be that the rules of Tom are different by country because they're more
Torah? Well, the answer is yes, that whatever it is, that the Gemara is making a distinction. But you still have to define what is A and what is B.
No, but what I mean is maybe your definitions are different with Kachin than they are with Kula.
No, I don't think the physical the Dina might change. The physical definitions don't change. The Rishonim are not going to say, and you're not going to use the term ta'am ki'ikar. It doesn't make any sense. The physical definitions don't change. The dina might change. The Gemara says the din is different.
They wanted the idea was to be so careful by Kaddish, and then you would call a mashu, you would call it ta'am ki'ikar.
But if that's the case, that's beyond belief. I can't see that. That's too much. Okay, then Tosfos continues. So what's his right? Then he said, the chaim beperek ataroves. Go ahead, Yehuda. This is new semicolon. The chaim beperek ataroves, amarei shlokish. Lo asabimino. So you see what? There you have min bimino. So it's obviously not Rabbi Yehuda. You take, this is an unbelievable thing. You take, you're there and you saw this. Pigel no son tame. The Beis Yosef quotes this at the end of, I think, Tzadi Chas. You have pigel no son tame. You mix the three together and you eat it. What's the din? Do you get malchus? Do you get kares? They're all bata. They're all bata. Why? Because it happens to be min bimino. But you didn't eat pigel. Why didn't you eat pigel? Because the majority of the Taroves was not Pigel. And you didn't eat Nosar because the majority of the Taroves is not Nosar. That's actually a fascinating concept. If you could have, you know, if you had meat of similar flavor of three different Isurim, but they tasted the same somehow. I don't know how you could manage that. But if you get, say, let's say you had two, a non-kosher animal and a kosher animal and some other type of trefin that all tasted the same. The best way to eat...
Trefa and one wasn't shechted. Yeah, it's a kosher species.
Trefa, nevela, and let's say you had a behemoth tmeya, which tasted... And what, what's that?
Fish.
No, 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 no. And you get something that tastes the same, but it's a different. Let's say it's a behemoth tomato, but tastes just like. Tastes just like. You know, let's say it's a kulit ben para for those who hold that it's. That it's no good. And you, okay? So you have behemoth tomato, you have nevela and trepa. You mix a kazayas from, well, trepa and nevela, for those who know the lumdus there, it's not so clear whether that's true. But let's say it for now. They might be related, conceptually, when you might actually call like a nevela super trepa. But let's accept that. Trepa, nevela, and behemoth tomato, they all taste the same. You grind at the meat, and therefore, each one is batel. Is it muta to eat? Absolutely not. However, why would we advise you to do such a thing? If you had a cholash ishwa sakana, and your choice was between giving him, you know, nevela hazir, or giving him these three surim bowl together, so we would advise you to mix them together so you can be mevatel them, because it could be deraisa, you're not violating anything. Okay, good. So that's the what do you see from that gemara bottom line? You see that by kachim pigel nosar v'tame, you see that they don't ask that they're batel, and then they're osar b'mashehu. Because osir b'mashehu min haTorah, so then you wouldn't say that osir pigutam shablon zavizes potter. Okay, so alma mashma dafilu kedenis sinas tam lo osir b'mino. So you see, according to the chachamim, there's no such din. There's no such din that kachem is osir b'mashehu. Okay. Now the truth is, in a strange way, this is a kasha even against Tosfos, because clearly zorah b'shelas amin b'mino. And the Torah we seemingly think the Torah asks isn't less than Shishim Umeya. So, okay, let's say there's less than Shishim Umeya. So what is Tosfos going to say about that? That's going to be a steer to what Reish Lakish said. Okay, but so even if you don't think this is such a great kasha, fine. And then Tosfos continues, Zro B'Sheila. Now, but again, the whole point is that's Akashi even according to Tosos, not only Akashi according to Rashi. All right, fine. The ode, let's just get to the end of the read one and a half more lines. It'll be the end of the Inquisition on Rashi. You should know, by the way, it's very important to realize it's Menachos, not Minchas. After he finishes, I'll explain why. Oh. Okay, so you see what, that if two menachos that got mixed up, that a kmitz is taken in this arvu, then be bato berov the rabbanon, rov that is bitter by min b'mino. So what do you see? That kolshu is not osir by kachin, that a kolshu is definitely bato. But again, that would be a kash according to Tosus as well, unless than shishir meir by zorah b'shela. Okay, so basically, Tosus has fundamentally two problems with Rashi. One which is a compelling question, one which is a less than compelling question. The first question is, how does Rashi make the leap? The Gemara only says that Tam Ki Ikar is Mutar Midoraisa by Chulin and by Zor B'Sheila when you have Shishim and Me'el Avatel, but you have, let's say, call a Tam Kol Shehu. So how does Rashi know to leap from there to say that Tam Ki Ikar is always the Rabbanon? You know, when you don't even have Shishim and Me'el. And number two, Tosa says, according to Rashi, it would have to turn out in the Gemara that which will not hear by Kachim, by Zorah B'Sheila and Chulin, namely Shishim Umeya, at least initially Rashi, we Aser by Kachim. And how can you Aser a Mashu by Kachim? Because we know that Mashu is not standardly Oser by Kachim, except for Mim Mimino the Rabbi Huda and Olin the Rabbanim. But all of the Kachim would be Batel. And the Gemara, and Zorah B'Sheila is neither Olin, it is Mim Mimino, but we're assuming according to the Chachamim, Satoshi says that's a kasha. The truth is, so that's a question, that's really not a compelling question. Rashi could distinguish between Mashu and Tam Kolosh. There are problems anyway, both for Rashi and Tosus with this. Okay, Yehuda?
In the beginning of Tosfot, where Tosfot says, La Tam Gamoru, the Ha Batil, the Mayor of Shishin, in the third line. What does Tosfot mean there? Because that's where Tosfot deduces that Rashi must be talking about Kolshu. So why does Tosfot assume that it can't be Tam Gamoru? What's Tosfot saying?
Because the Gemara, because what does Zroa B'Sheila require to be Mevatalit? Yeah, Shishim Umeya, however you want to make the calculation.
Okay.
So what do you say, when we say that the Torah teaches us that Zroa B'Sheila Tam Kikar is Mutar, and so too by Chulin, just not by Kachim, what are we saying is Mutar? Only Shishim Umeya. If you have less than Shishim Umeya, how could, Adarab, the Torah might be Mashma, it's not really Mashma, that's Aser.
Okay.
So when Rashi says that Tam Kikar is mutter midaraisa by chulin. It means once you have shishim ameya.
Okay.
So why is that tam kikar? The answer is the only tam kikar which Rashi is saying is the rabbanon is tam koldu. Tam gomer, when you don't have shishim ameya, pastures is also min haTorah, like Zorah b'sheila would have been also if it weren't for the shishim ameya. No, how do you read the Gemara for Rashi? How do you read the Gemara for Tosfos? Tosfos, by the way, you have to... See, here's part of the problem. You have to realize Tosfos is learning Gemara. Tosfos is not learning Rashi. Rashi is just getting in Tosfos' way. Tosfos is going to have to develop... This is what Rashi says, and what Tosfos puts in, you know, says Rashi means, is the Pashtus in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara says that Zorah b'Sheila teaches us that other Yisurim are Batal B'Shishim Ameya. The Gemara says, but it's Heter B'Machal Yisur. Maybe all other Yisurim are not Mutar B'Shishim Ameya. The Gemara says, no. Shar Kachim, Tam Ki'ikar is Asur. And Shishim Ameya would not be permitted. But by Zorah B'Shelem Chulin, Shishim Ameya is permitted. Now, what do you see from that? And the Gemara says the following. It says that, my own Midoraisa, I would have said, Beruba Batal, Kamashmol and Zorah B'Shela, that until you have Shishim Ameya, it's not Mutar. You don't follow a road. So what does that mean? It means Minat Torah by Chulin up until Shishim Ameya is also Minat Torah. Same thing by Zorah B'Sheila. More than Shishim Ameya is Mutar Minat Torah. And the Gemara says, and Rava says, that what is Mutar Minat Torah? Tam Ki'ikar. So what do the words Tam Ki'ikar mean then in the Gemara? Physically, what is Tam Ki'ikar? It means a situation where you have Shishim Ameya, but you can still taste the food. What if you had less than Shishim Ameya and you can taste the food? What would the din be according to the Gemara? Aser midoraisa, like Zorah B'Sheila, is only mutar up to Shishim Ameya. Now, what therefore that means is that when we say Tam Kikar is only Darbanan, it means Tam Kalush. When you already have Shishim Ameya, that's where the Gemara is saying Tam Kikar is permitted. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Which is B'mashma then, that when the Gemara says that Kachim Ki Haigavna would be Aser, it's that Tam Koldahu by Kachim. Yes, no? You reread the Gemara and think about, well, just... What is the Gemara saying about which things are mutar by chulin and Zorah b'Sheila? Only when you have shishim ameya. That's exactly the point Tosfos is making. Tosfos says that the zelmut eshar kachim abo chulin shapa yofinan lemine from Zorah b'Sheila lemeya v'shishim lemeya v'shishim. The midaraisa I would have said butli barov the yofinan mehacha from Zorah b'Sheila lahachmir de lo libatel abemeya v'shishim. So you're saying Zorah B'Sheila is only Bata when you're Me'a B'Shishim, and Chulim which you learn from it is only Bata B'Me'a B'Shishim, less than Me'a B'Shishim is also Minat Torah. So we're, and the Gemara uses the term, so what tam, what kind of Tam is Mutar by Zorah B'Sheila and Chulim? A Tam of less than Shishim or Me'a. What kind of a Tam is that? A weak Tam. You already have Shishim Heter Keneged the Isser. Whatever Tam is left is pretty Chalish. So Tosfos says that's the only thing the Gemara is saying is Mutar according to Rashi. So question one is that how does Rashi make the leap to say in the end that all chulin, all tam kikar is mutar, even less than shishim ameya? And two, if you're going to read the Gemara the way we just read the Gemara, it's mashma that by kachim even a tam kolish is aser. And Tosfos goes on to show that mashu is aser is mutar by kachim with exceptions. So my question on that was that tam kolish and mashu are two different things. Okay. Fine. Any questions so far? So tomorrow we're going to. Thursday. So Sunday, we have to we'll continue on try to finish Tosfos and maybe get started on the Ritva. Two last notes for Yoredeh. Tomorrow we're doing Simen Kuf. And what did we finish Tzadi test for the non Yoredeh guys? Did we finish Tzadi test? Do you remember? We're still in the little Tzadi test because
we went back to it.
Did I finish it or not? You don't think so? So I have to decide. Should we just do... All right, so then we'll have separate shiur tomorrow and we'll do tzadi tests. I've attempted to do kuf in both, but we'll go back and finish tzadi. So now assume you're going to finish tzadi tests, okay?
And work on kuf.
What's that?
I send a message to
I'm sorry? One last... All right, just why...